Good morning. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. I'm your host, Gina Crash, and we're very excited to welcome back our guest this morning, Darren Rogers. He is the executive director of I Am Mentality here in Baltimore. We spoke back in 2018. It's so good to have you back, Darren. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I just wanted to thank you guys for allowing me this opportunity to speak with you and to share some of the great things that we're doing within our organizations and potentially discuss some current events today.
Oh, yeah, that we're going to get to all of that, and we're going to talk about your Youth Male Empowerment Project. And I remember when you came in 2 years ago, it was, you know, pre-social distancing. There was no pandemic. You were able to come in with two young gentlemen that you help in your program, and Devin and Nevin. I just wanted to ask real quick how they were doing and if they're still, you know, actively involved with you as well, as we explain in a minute about what you guys do.
Absolutely. So both are still involved in our program. Nevin and Devin are both doing extremely, extremely well. Both of them have been doing well as well as it relates to managing, you know, just through this COVID-19 pandemic and just moving along with their lives. Nevin is playing a lot of sports, so he's playing basketball, so he's very aggressive towards perfecting his craft as it relates to playing sports. And Devin is actually just working extremely hard to build on his leadership capacity and participating in as many I Am Mentality meetings as he can. And he's big right now on just exercise. And so he's calling me all the time, talking about how many push-ups he can do and how strong he's getting and things like that. So
I love that. That's fantastic. And I know that they both at a very young age witnessed violence and have had luckily your mentorship as well as, their moms and things like to take them through. So I think that's a great place to start. If people aren't as familiar with I Am Mentality as I've been lucky enough to get to know you over the years, please tell everybody a little bit about what inspired you to start this initiative.
Yeah, so there were multiple things. I always say, you know, there's always a good and a bad to everything. So some of the good things are I wanted to create a platform that was interconnected between the community and the families that we serve, that required the support of everyone, that motivates youth to reach their highest potential. And some of the negative things were that there's no like scale or base or system that pretty much promotes young men who usually come from adverse environments to be able to take my job. So my goal is to position young men to be able to play my part. And I just didn't see an opportunity within our communities that would allow them to become, you know, just leaders in their community, that would give them the information that they needed to be aware and provide them with the tools and the love that they need as it relates to, you know, just helping them with their families, as well as supporting them academically, as well as tapping into that potential that they have deep inside of them to motivate them to the next level. And what we wanted to do was to try to create a system that would help them access that. And the way that we do it is we provide leadership development opportunities. We train on classes such as leadership skills, conflict resolution, anger management, financial literacy, health and wellness, professionalism, beginner's public speaking, stress relief through journaling, resiliency. And we also have strong relationships with outpatient mental health clinics and agencies to support youth who face traumatic experiences or who are in need of, you know, just someone to talk to or who have some issues that may be a little bit more at a heightened level that we can support them. So what we do is we have those relationships. And through that connection, we're able to, you know, move kids along the spectrum and put them on a path to sustainability and having a great life.
Yeah, that's the goal. And thank God for you. My goodness. Now, is this something when you were growing up, are you a Baltimore native? Did you find that you didn't have this or was your background in that you wish you had someone like you that could mentor you or did you have that base and you wanted to give back? Like there's always a story behind your story. So maybe share that with us a little bit about, you know, how you saw the need and you filled it.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm a born and raised Baltimorean. I've lived here my whole life. I was born to a 14-year-old mom and a 16-year-old dad. And there were so many different things that I've never seen You know, my mother always encouraged me and dad always encouraged me to dream, but just the tangible, you know, the tangible opportunities weren't necessarily there for me. So when I decided that I wanted to do something different than, you know, just the average guy who grew up in my neighborhood, because I lost a lot of individuals in my neighborhood to violence and things of that nature, it still wasn't a host of people around that could help me figure out what it is that I wanted to do, what tools that I needed, and what training that I should take in order to grow myself as a leader. So I kind of had to do a lot of walking alone. And through that walking alone, it built some anger and some frustration and some desire as well to support young men and to ensure that they didn't have to walk through life alone.
Right. And now, when did the organization start? How long have you been there? And currently you're the executive director and founder, I guess, too, right? How long ago was that? How long have you been doing this this important work?
Absolutely. So we started working on it in 2015, but our actual first day of existence was January the 16th, 2016. So we're about 4.5 at this point.
Thank you, Darren, for that timeline. That was my next question. The fact that you were founded in 2016 means that is post-2015 Freddie Gray uprising, and a lot of people have been talking about what Baltimore went through during those riots, especially now after the recent death of George Floyd on Memorial Day in police custody. We are recording this interview on Blackout Tuesday, I should say, where a lot of people are making the statement on social media to sort of black everything out and reflect. So I imagine, given the nature of I Am mentality and how who you serve and help, that's got to be something that you guys are wrestling with and that you feel personally responsible to sort of impact these young men. Like, how do you tell them where to go from here safely and peacefully? How do you address everything that's going on right now in a thoughtful, productive way?
I think it's very important to reflect on, you know, just the great things that happened, you know, just during the Freddie Gray situation, and just thinking about, you know, some of the great things that happened from the standpoint of what did we do well, and, you know, what are some of the things that we didn't necessarily do well. But also balancing that out with the youth-led protest that I'm extremely proud about that happened yesterday. But just making them aware of just the concerns of the COVID-19 pandemic, and that we're not just out of the woods yet. So it's a complex thing. It's an extremely complex thing where we're dealing with a protest in the midst of, you know, COVID-19. So I've been just educating my young people on what's going on, getting their feelings around, you know, how they feel about it. We're setting up some different things as it relates to engaging mental health professionals to come in, you know, next month to just talk about, you know, just where we are, what we need to do, how can we utilize the things that are happening to push us forward, but not to allow the traumatic experiences to live in us, you know, just for the rest of our lives. And now we're just afraid of moving forward. So those are some
right.
of the things that we're those are some of the things that we're working on.
Right. Sorry to interrupt you there. Yes, because those images of George Floyd in police custody are just you can't get them out of your vision when you see them, and that can be very, very difficult for a young person seeing that over and over again. And you're right, we've been sort of the envy of the nation in the way that we've been able to peacefully protest, and those young people we are proud of. But again, in the pandemic, trying to keep the social distancing going and in the crowds, you just worry about that, you know, such a difficult illness, you know, a virus like COVID-19, where it could be airborne, water droplets, you get people, you get the weather getting hotter, you know, giant groups of people together. That's a whole nother issue where we got to keep our young people and everybody safe for this pandemic. We don't have the vaccine yet. We don't have a treatment yet. So we have to be mindful of that kind of stuff. Although we do have to address, you know, the inequality and how we can move forward, as you said. So tell us a little bit about how things have changed for your organization due to COVID-19. I know if anybody can handle a little adversity, it's you, Darren. So what was the first thing you said? Okay, everybody get on Zoom, or everybody, you know, try to get a laptop, or how did you have to, as an executive director of a nonprofit in the middle of a pandemic, how did you say, okay, we got to shift. The message is the same, but we got to get it to people in a different way.
Absolutely. So it took, you know, it took us some time to kind of like create a strategy within my board members and my service delivery team to figure out, you know, how we were going to do what we, you know, the things that we did. So within a week or so, we were able to shift everything from, you know, just meeting in person to actually meeting on Zoom. So we moved all of our programming from, you know, in-person meeting to Zoom conference calls. And we're meeting four times a week. We have a three-tier model that we're utilizing to support our families during COVID-19. And the first tier is ensuring that families who suffer from food insecurities have healthy meals. The second tier is ensuring that our programming is sustained. So we're providing those four groups, as I stated before. And the third tier is ensuring that our young people have the technology they need to engage in e-learning and distance learning. So mm-hmm. we've been successful. We have a few school partnerships. We have a partnership with Henderson Hopkins. We lost about 3 weeks out of our partnership due to COVID-19, but we were able to re-engage with Henderson Hopkins. So on average, we're providing probably 8 groups a week, 4 in the evenings and 4 for, you know, two during the day. So
that's great. And you did mention food insecurity, which is a big issue normally and now even more so during this pandemic. But you guys have been doing, I'm looking at, you're great with getting in touch with people. I'm actually looking at the I Am Mentality latest email, the June newsletter. And we'll get to the mentality principle of the month for June in a second. But I noticed in there, and in case you missed it, note about providing ShopRite gift cards to some of your families. Tell us about that and how that partnership happened and who you were able to help. And that's super, super important. That's definitely worth mentioning.
Absolutely. So one of our board members, Karan Brace, has a relationship with a gentleman named Ed Berlin. And Ed also has a relationship. You know, all of these things are interconnected and intertwined with Nick Mosby. So Nick Mosby supported us with connecting with ShopRite, which we're already providing our programming at Liberty Rec and Tech Center, which is 2 blocks down the street from ShopRite. So we thought it would be great to do it there. And what happened is we secured some funds from Ed, as well as we were able to gain some support from the Robert Dorse Foundation, and we were able to give 20 of our families $200 gift cards a few weeks back. So that was something that was great. And it was actually our first time meeting with our children in probably about a month and a half. So it was an opportunity to come out as a family. We came out, set a table up, and just had some social distance fun, some conversation, took some pictures. If you check out our June newsletter, you'll be able to see the video. So it was a great thing, and it just made our hearts warm to be able to see our children again, as well as provide them with some opportunities to make sure that they had the food they needed.
Oh, that's so important. And you guys, I think I saw some wonderful pictures on social media as well. You guys are on all the platforms, particularly active on Instagram as well. And these messages, like I'm looking at the mentality principle of the month. For the month of June, you're engaging in the principle of accountability. Tell us about how important that is and how you're still managing to make that the principle even during a pandemic.
Absolutely. So the great thing about it, I guess the month of June would be excellent to think about accountability with dealing with the George Floyd situation and the protests and everyone wanting to, just hold law enforcement accountable for the things that they do. But what we do is monthly we operate out of a 12 principle set, and each month we engage one principle throughout the month. We talk about the principles, you know, just day in and day out, but each month we focus on one principle. So the principle of accountability will be something that we talk about throughout every mentoring session. So every session it'll come up, and we'll have dialogue in between the young people as well as on our board, as well as our team. We think about what accountability measures do we need to put in place to be able to serve our families at the highest level.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. You know, I'm thinking of, you mentioned Nick Mosby, and we're talking about being, you know, Tuesday when we're talking to each other. It's election day. Accountability is a huge word you hear tossed around in pos, of course, making sure our leaders are accountable. And are these principles ones that you do the same ones for the whole year, 12 different ones, or do they change from year to year depending on the climate of the year? You know, 2020 has been quite a whopper for everybody. Is it always the same principles in the mission every single year, or does that change?
All the principles are the same. We attempt to engage these principles consistently because we want the young people to master them and understand them. And
right.
we, you know, the programming that we do is just centered around mastery. So we talk about the same things, you know, over and over and over again, because we believe that that'll help the young people gain the insight and make these tools a part of their, you know, their heart and their mind.
Yep. So the people are going to be quoting you for years to come, Darren Rogers, because, you know, when I think we all get inspiration, whether it's from, you know, Dr. King or our family or whoever it is, you know, those things that we quote sometimes in tough times, like you want to be the one that they're quoting, right? So you're the things that you're teaching these young men, you know, are they're going to be saying it back to their own kids one day, right? That's the hope.
Yep, that's absolutely the hope. And one of the things that we want is we want them to be, you know, actively engaged in mentoring. There are statistics that say that 85% of individuals who've been mentored will mentor. So if during the course of our existence we help 2,000 people, we know that, you know, 85% of that population will be able to engage with other people. So we just really want to make that heart, you know, that mind change that promotes them getting involved in the community and getting, you know, doing some great things.
Mm-hmm. And how many of your families would you say have been affected by COVID-19? I might guess that answer might be nearly all of them, right?
Yes, nearly all of them to one degree or another. But it's, you know how things go. Usually it's a percentage around 20% that are hit extremely hard just for different mm-hmm. reasons.
Right.
I'll share just a quick story. One of our families.
Sure, please do.
The mother is an esthetician, so she has two part-time jobs that make up a full-time job. And what happened was, because she can't, you know, come in close with anybody, she lost, you know, both of her jobs. So we were just looking to find ways to be extremely supportive, and we just wanted to show a lot of love in this time. So we've just been doubling down on our support. They have, you know, just everything that they need. So it's been happening, you know, to everyone. I think that parents have been in the house with their children more than they've ever been around, you mm-hmm. know, their children before. So just making sure that some of our young people are connected to, you know, mental health professionals where they can have group therapy sessions in between the mother, the son, and the other children to figure out how do we navigate where we are and that we're in the process of moving forward, even, you know, just from right where we are. So it's not a situation where, like, we're just going to, whenever this is over, and one day we say, you know, all of this is over, we're implementing strategies that'll carry us to the next level.
Yeah, maybe we'll be doing business a little smarter with all these tools that we're using. And thank you for bringing up the information about, you know, not only food insecurity, but jobs that are considered in that second phase of reopening that haven't reopened yet. Think of all that money that is not getting to the folks that are in those fields where they haven't been able to do their craft, you know, and that might be hair salon, nail salon, you name it. You know, these families are being affected, and for an undetermined amount of time. I think that's some of all the uneasiness too comes from not knowing when all this is going to be over, so to speak, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely a challenging time, and I think that just as a community, we need to be supportive of each other and just to try to consider. You know, I've done a lot of giving just personally, just outside of social media and things like that, just to ensure that individuals who usually serve me, you know, like my barber, just making sure that he knows that, you know, I just respect and honor the things that he does. So I think mm-hmm. that, you know, just as a community, we have to do those things.
Yeah, we have to support each other because, you know, you're blessed that you can still do, although with some minor adaptations, you can still do the businesses that you are involved in. You can still earn a living. But a lot of people can't right now. So yeah, we do need to help if we're able and to help certainly do that. And that's a good question, to lead into about support, how people can get behind your organization, support them. Please let us know the best way to do that, whether that's by website, and let us know what that is or what social media platforms you're on and what those social media handles are so that we can get the word out about the great work that you're doing and how you might need some help with some of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn and we're on Instagram. My Instagram handle is at IAMMentality, IAMMentality. And on Facebook and LinkedIn, it's the full name. So it's a little long. It's IAMMentality Youth Male Empowerment Project.
So those are the ways that individuals can get connected. We're actually aggressively pushing our Sustainer campaign. And what our Sustainer campaign is, it's an opportunity for individuals to donate on a reoccurring basis, in which they'll donate a minimum of $25 to support sustaining programming for our young people. So we have some great young people, but the majority of our families are suffering, you know, just at this time. And even outside of this time, just from a financial standpoint, they aren't able to compensate us for, you know, the work that we do. So if you join the Sustainer campaign, it's a great push towards providing sustainability, you know, and providing the mentorship and the training for the young people.
Yeah, without interruption. Would you say that's probably the most important thing right now, is to not have an interruption of the programs and services that you provide, more so than tangible items, I guess? You know, is there any physical item? Are there any, like, food donations or technology, you know, say if you have an old device or something that you're, you know, some person's trash is another person can benefit from? You know, there's, I find myself donating things a lot more that I'm like, well, I might not need it anymore, but somebody might. So are there any, other than the programming and things like that, any physical items that you need, or are, is volunteering a little difficult now with social distancing? How does that work? And really, like, what are your needs and how can we help you with those best?
Yeah. So some of our needs are, you know, food gift cards would be, you know, be a huge blessing. As just as you said, you know, old technology, you can donate old technology. Or, you know, if you want to sponsor a child, being able to have, you know, a computer, a laptop, or some type of technology that will, you know, assist them going forward, because we're not even sure if we're going to start school, you know, just on time next year.
You're
so
right.
Those are some of the things that you can help out with, as well as, you know, just making monetary donations that'll be able to, so that'll go directly into supporting, you know, our families.
Great. So people can donate at immentality.com, and any amount can help. And I imagine your events and things have been impacted by, you know, the restrictions of how many people can gather. So do you have anything virtual coming up, virtual events that people can participate in as well to help out your cause?
Yes. So yeah, we missed out on our mother-son conference that is a part of the Mother's Day celebration. We had it last year, but we weren't able to have it this year due to COVID-19. We're actually in the process of figuring out what we want to do with our events. So we want a grant for the Freddie Gray 5-year anniversary. So we're actually planning an event for that, but we want to be able to have that event in person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, we're just in a balance with that, just figuring out, you know, just where we are with the phases of opening things back up. So we don't necessarily have any events that are coming up, because we don't know if we're able to facilitate the events, and a lot of it a lot of the events are grant funded. So we would just have to kind of be able to figure those things out. So
right now,
what I would suggest is, everyone just staying connected, you know, just to our social media platforms. And just as things build, we should be able to, you know, put on our Freddie Gray event. We have another program that we're running that was supported by Baltimore Corps called the Transformational Leadership Cohort. We're building for that, which will be a spinoff of our Leadership Academy. And it'll have 9 young men that'll participate in a cohort, and it'll be an aggressive cohort in which they'll learn about building communities, leadership development skills, how do you take those skills that you need to impact the community and package them. And we're going to go out to different nonprofits and corporate, you know, just corporate offices to just share what we're doing in the community with the young people, and allow them to teach them how to share their story, where they are, you know, just what they're going through, and just how our organization is helping them process through those things. So that's
excellent.
Another thing that we have in the balance. We've also canceled our friend raiser that we usually have at late July. So I think we're going to change it. Our friend raiser will turn into Giving Black Day on August the 28th. So we'll double that as a friend raiser. So it's just a lot of tweaking that we have to do, but it's just all based on, you know, how we can get together. If we can't get together, it's hard to, you know, schedule these events, because I don't know how impactful they'll be. And once we figure out that we won't be able to connect, then we'll have to go into the phase of looking at how we can have, you know, successful events virtually.
Great. So people can find out more information about those virtual events and donating. They can find you on social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and online at iammentality.com. Is there anyone else you'd like to help? I know you don't do this alone. We got Father's Day coming up too. So I want to say happy Father's Day to all our fathers. But is there anything that I've forgotten to ask you that you want to make sure that you get a chance to say today?
Absolutely. So I definitely want to thank just the community for supporting us. We have, you know, just enormous support in our community, in which individuals who, you know, just pour out their hearts to our initiatives. I just want to encourage other people to support so that we can move the organization forward, as well as I just want to share, you know, just highlight my team. So I'm just, you know, I'm thoroughly impressed day by day with my my board of directors, as well as my service delivery team. You know, just without you guys, none of this would be possible, as well as I just want to thank some of the emerging leaders in the community. They give me a lot of hope to move forward and the things that we have to do to make Baltimore a better place. My parents, who are the most important part of I Am Mentality, because the work that we do without the parental support, it's impossible for us to achieve our goals. So I just want to thank all of those individuals, you know, just all my supporters and just the community at large. I want to thank you for what you do and just let you know that I love and appreciate you just for everything that you do for our organization as well as our city.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you got all those thank yous in, because you definitely don't do it alone. And I want to thank you, Darren Rogers, for your leadership and your caring and, oh, my gosh, all that you do as the executive director of I Am Mentality. You are welcome back here anytime to please let us know in the future how we can help get the word out about how they can help. And thank you so much for joining me today, Darren.
Thank you, and I appreciate you as well. And I thank you for allowing us to share this time on your platform.
Thank you again so much. Darren Rogers has been my guest executive director of I Am Mentality. Thank you all for listening. Find out more at iammentality.com. And on social media, you can also find me on all the platforms at Gina Crash. And make it a great day. And this has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.